Page Membov and the Paprais Lachachma. We're up to the middle, almost the middle of the right-hand column. Right after Paprais Lachachma presented the story, the vision that Rabbi Nizal had seen related to this Torah in the Kedemaran, where he saw a throne of fire, we explained, and on that throne was inscribed all the tzurais of all the people of the whole world. And there he saw Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. And they told him that he's going to be a shadchan there. And we explained that he saw, that he remembered, that he had learned the pasuk, that the word, the pasuk karsaya shvivim dinura, the pasuk in Daniel, which refers to a throne of fire, the first letters of that pasuk make up the word shadchan. And in the word karsaya itself, which means throne, in that word it's marumas, the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. That was where we were up to. Now, Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says, Hakisei Shohya Esh Sevivo, the throne that Rabbi Nizal saw in his vision that had fire all around it, Hu Bechinas Hakisei Ho'elyen. This refers to the heavenly throne of Hashem, She'oleho Nema B'Doniel Zayin. About the throne of Hashem, it's written in Doniel, Perek Zayim, Chazi, Havis, Ado, Karsoin, Rimyoi, Va'atik Yoimin Yosef. Daniel said, I saw a throne, and Kaviyochel, I saw Hashem sitting on this throne. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi HaKodesh says on that Pasuk, Kisois Hutolu, there were thrones suspended, Viniskanu Leisheva Mishpot, and they were prepared for Hashem to sit in judgment on Bnei Yisrael. Va'atik Yoimin Yosef, and on the words Va'atik Yoimin Yosef, the Rashi HaKodesh says, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yoishev LeMishpot, Hashem is seated to judge Bnei Yisrael, which means that it's obviously referring to Rosh Hashanah. That pasuk that discusses Hashem sitting on his throne is referring to the Kisei Mishpot, the throne of judgment, on which Hashem judges the Bnei Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk continues, Karsaya Shviven Dinur, a throne that sparks from fire, Galalohi Nur Doluk, surrounded all around with fire. Dino Yosef Visafran Psichen, Kaviyochel Hashem is sitting in judgment, and Hashem has the books of judgment open before him. Vizehu Shis, the people to get to this throne, El Hakisei, to get to the throne. Because the people, we say on Rosh Hashanah in the davening, that on Rosh Hashanah, kol ha'ilam yavru lefonav kivnei moroin, that on Rosh Hashanah the whole world passes before Hashem. So this is why there was this assemblage of people, lechu bo Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbeinu Zal heard them proclaiming the fact that Rosh Hashanah was coming. Shehu yoim ha'mishpot, which is the day of judgment. Uchsiv, and the pasuk says, koinein la'mishpot kisoi, that Hashem prepares his throne for judgment. So we see how these items go together. The throne, Rosh Hashanah, and Mishpat are all one item. Ukishebo Lishom, when Rabbi Nizal came there, Rosh Hashanah Mamish, Yom Kippur Mamish, Sukkos, Sukkos Mamish. He said he saw the real Rosh Hashanah and the real Yom Kippur and the real Sukkos. Ki kol hayomim halolu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosev al Kisei HaMishpot Ad Gemar HaDin Bahishana Rabo Kiyodua. Because we know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Hashem sits on the throne of judgment from Rosh Hashanah until Hashanah Rabo, that 21-day period, going from Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, extending through 21 days in Tishrei, Kaviyochel, that whole period, Hashem sits on the throne of judgment. Note that on Hashanah Rabbah, so we put on the white kittel, and we say special tefillos that resemble the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. V'shoma shohayu tzoyakim chodsheichem umayadeichem sona nafshi. And Rabbi Nizal said he heard that they were screaming, they were calling out a pasuk in Navi, where the pasuk says, Chodsheichem umayadeichem sona nafshi, that when Hashem was angry at the Yidden, Hashem said, your Rosh Chodesh and your holidays I despise, Hashem said. Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal explains, Malochem lodun es oilam, the voice continued to say, what right do you have to judge the world? Rosh Hashanah bi'atzma yishpoit, Rosh Hashanah itself will judge the world. This was all proclaimed in his vision. Ki Rosh Hashanah hu b'Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah comes out on Rosh Chodesh, v'hu b'chinas Chodesh u'moyed bi'yachad, Rosh Hashanah is a yontif, which combines a holiday and a Rosh Chodesh. That's Chodsheichem u'Moyadeichem. That symbolizes Rosh Hashanah. Hukamai Shadosh Razal Bakesel Yem Chageinu, and as the Gemara darshins on the Pasuk Tikul Bachodesh Shofar, Bakesel Yem Chageinu, Bakesa means hidden. The Gemara darshins, Ezehu Chag Shachodesh Miskasebo Ezeh Rosh Hashanah. Which holiday is there where the moon is hidden? That holiday is Rosh Hashanah. His drop of the moon has been seen. And when a person, note, the Masechta Rosh Hashanah is the Masechta in Shas, which deals with all the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh. The whole topic of Kiddush HaChodesh is brought bedavka by Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Nizal says, when a person sits to discuss his friend or to speak to his friend, that's a concept that this person is performing the act of Rosh Hashanah. The person is sitting and judging his friend. Which person is worthy of judging his friend? There's a pasuk that says that judgment belongs only to Hashem. So which person can say that he's worthy of judging? It's only Hashem who's referred to as the place of the world, and he understands the position of every person. He understands each person's position, so he's in a position to judge every person. Whereas if you can't put yourself in another person's position, you're not in a position to judge that one. And Hashem knows how to judge each person, each and every person according to his place. Now he's quoting parts of the Torah that we learned. We see Hashem's kindness in the fact that Hashem established the Yom Hadin on Rosh Chodesh, as was explained in paragraph Yudalid. The fact that on Rosh Chodesh is when Hashem apologizes also for the deficiency in the Levana that Hashem caused. This is why Rabbi Nizal said that in his vision they were screaming, Chodsheichem u'moyadeichem sona nafshi. Your Rosh Hashanah I despise, meaning, Hainu hayoyim hadin shelochem. The fact that you Yidden at times try to make a Rosh Hashanah for yourselves, you try to judge people, pass judgment on people. She'atem yoishem v'donin esodom she'ze b'chinas Rosh Hashanah she'hu chodesh u'moyed biyachad ze sono nafshi. They're not supposed to be doing that. Malochem lodon esoilam. Why do you have to judge the world? Me'achar she'en atem b'chinas mekoyme shelolam. Since you are not classified as this concept of mekoyme shelolam, the place of the world, leida mekoyme shel kol echot, to be able to understand each person's situation, each person's position, ulakayim al toden as chaverecha shadigal mekoyme, and to be able to be mekayim what the Mishnah says, that a Jew is not permitted to judge another person until he can put himself in that person's position. And you're not in a position to judge everybody. Therefore, why should you people be judging, passing judgment on people? Rosh Hashanah bi'atzmo yishpoy. Rosh Hashanah itself will do all the judging that there is to be done. And you Jews are not authorized to do this for this concept of passing judgment on each other. Ki Rosh Hashanah shehu b'Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, which comes out on Rosh Chodesh, she'oz amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmai kaviyochol havi olai kapara, that's when Hashem himself expresses this concept of bringing a forgiveness on behalf of Hashem. That itself is the mokur from where we have an opening to be able to judge people l'kaf z'chus. How could we say judge somebody l'kaf z'chus if we see that even by Hashem kaviyochol there is a concept of a need to judge Hashem l'kaf z'chus, that there is something that seems to make Hashem look bad, sort of. It looks like Hashem did something bad, something wrong, a mistake, chas v'shalom. That's the implied meaning of this. and we have to judge Hashem l'kaf schus in the sense, this is what gives us an opening to be able to do this for other people. And to allow for each and every single person to lift up his face to Hashem and to ask for forgiveness. Because were it not for this, we would be too embarrassed to do it. Were it not for the fact that Kaviyochol Hashem makes it appear as though he himself has to ask for a forgiveness, we wouldn't have any open that for ourselves. And Rabbi Nizal said that in his vision, Ubarchu, that as soon as this proclamation was made, Ubarchu kulam im kol manhigei hadoyer kulam barchu, all the people ran away. All the people that were assembled there ran away, including all the manhigei hadoyer, all the leaders of the generation that was standing around, also ran away as soon as they heard this proclamation. For some shel sheker sheper sumum hurak al yedei azus, where their publicity comes only via a chutzpah, their leadership comes only via a chutzpah. The einam klal bebechinas shoros and tekisya kovoid. Not only those people, the mefursamim shel sheker, who in no way in the world represent a shoresh neshamas Yisrael, a kisei hakovoid. Not only did they run away in shame when this proclamation was made. Even the true leaders of the generation, they are worthy of this title, Shorosh Neshamas Yisrael. V'chol Neshamas Yisrael nechlokim tachtom, and each unit of Neshamas of Jews is subjugated under them. Afal pikein adayin lach kol echad mehem zeich lebechinas kol atikunim amavur befnim b'shleimus. Still, not every single one of the real leaders is zeichet to the kind of levels that were described in this Torah, this perfection of tefillah and other things, all the tikkunim that were explained in this Torah, ad sheyeh bebechinas ma'achiz pnei akisei, to classify that leader as one who is ma'achiz pnei akisei, one who's worthy of grabbing onto the throne of Hashem, attaching himself to the throne of Hashem, bebechinas kisei hakavoy, shoroshi neshamas Yisrael, ad sheyeh bebechinas mekoymoy sheloylam, which would classify that leader as being a concept of mekoymoy sheloylam, ad shalidei zeh yuchal asis Rosh Hashanah, k'mavur pebnim, which would allow him to be worthy of making Rosh Hashanah. So, in other words, Rabbi Nizal, in his vision, he heard a scream that said, Chodsheichem u'mayadeichem sama nafshi, that Kaviyochol Hashem was saying, I despise the Rosh Hashanah of the Jews, meaning when the Jews attempt to make a Rosh Hashanah, to pass judgment, when a Jew attempts to pass judgment on another Jew. And all, Rabbi Nizal said that in his vision, he saw that they all ran away, not just all the Jews ran away, but all the manhigim ran away. Rabbi Nachman Shigrinzal comments here, not just the bad manhigim ran away, but even the good manhigim, not all of them were classified as being worthy of this title of being able to make Rosh Hashanah, which involves attaching yourself to the Kisei HaKavod, which classifies you being Bechinas Mekoymei Shalaylam, which allows you to pass judgment on other people. And Rav Nachman Shigrinzal proves this. He says, "V'zeh muvon gam kein mimashomer Hakadosh Baruch Hu laMoshe." This we can Rabbeinu. This means that was only really attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in a sense, even the majority of tzaddikim are not worthy of this level of being able to perform this act of Rosh Hashanah, this act of passing judgment necessarily.
Are we saying here also this judgment includes even judging somebody like Haskos? Also, was that what we said just before? Also?
No, it means judging a person properly, which means employing the technique you described in Perkei Avos of Havidonis Kolom Lekav Schus.
People are not saying everybody's not even worthy of
that. Exactly, 100%. In other words, hear this, Rabbi Nizal is screaming about not judging Bechlal, not passing judgment. That Chodsheichem u'mayadeichem sona nafshi. That here he saw Rosh Hashanah being enacted, and he heard a scream saying that I don't like your Rosh Hashanah. Hashem said, I made my own Rosh Hashanah, and I designed it in a way where it fulfills all the requirements of Yom HaDin. Whereas when you make Rosh Hashanah, you're not necessarily capable of that, because you're not Bechinas Mekoymoi Shel Olam, and it says, Al Toden Es Chaver Chad Shadigei LeMekoymoi, and because you're not necessarily capable of having done Eskol Malkav Schus, therefore avoid judgment. Rosh Hashanah ba'atzma yishboit. Let Rosh Hashanah do its own thing. This is not an avoid of a Jew to make this mishpat on another person. V'roshom, Rabbeinu Zal also said that he saw there shechokuk al hakisei kol tzurois shel kol bruei oilam, that he saw inscribed on this throne, engraved on this throne, the images of all inhabitants of the world. V'chol echot hoyechokuk im bas zugoi etzloi, each one was inscribed with their mate right alongside of them. U'bishvil zeh nasin tekev shiduchim kanal. That's what allowed that as soon as people came before this throne, immediately it led to shiduchim being made, because obviously by looking at this throne, you were able to see yourself and your mate inscribed right next to each other in a manner that you were able to figure out who your mate was, who your shidduch was. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says now, ki kisei zu hi bechinas kisei hakovoid. Again, because this throne that Rabbeinu Zal saw in his vision represented the actual kisei hakovoid, which another name for it is... What's another name for the Kisei HaKavod? The Shoresh Neshamos Yisrael. The Gemara says that where did the Neshamos of the Jews come from? They are Nechtzav Mitachas Kisei HaKavod. So we can sort of use these two terms interchangeably, Kisei HaKavod, Shoresh Neshamos Yisrael. So if that's the Shoresh Neshamos, obviously the Neshamos there are arranged in sequence, where what belongs alongside something else is put alongside something else, and what belongs far away is put far away. Veshom kol haneshamos kolachas im bazugoi, and there in the kisei hakavod of Hashem are found each one of the representation of each one of the neshamos of Bnei Israel im bazugoi, together with his zivug, kemuvan bedvarov zal, as is explained in Rabbeinu Zal's words belikutei alef siman reish samachei. If you recall, it made reference to the fact that the neshamos of Bnei Israel are engraved in the kisei hakavod im bas zugoi, together with his basivu. Va'ayin zoyar lech lechodaf peheyom et beis, and also look at the Zohar HaKadosh over there, where the Zohar HaKadosh there makes mention of this item, that in the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem is inscribed each person together with Yaakov Avinu and Rochel, because it's brought that the Kisei HaKavod, the Kisei HaKavod has four legs. There are two explanations as to what those four legs refer to. One explanation is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. David HaMelech is the regel Horevi, and according to the other explanations, it's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rochel. If you recall, we once mentioned that that's the Rosh Yitivis Eor, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rochel. We once mentioned that, and we had a whole explanation of that. So we see that there is this concept of a couple being inscribed in the Kisei HaKavod, although factually every single couple in the world is inscribed in the Kisei HaKavod. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal continues, Karsaya Shvivan Dinu Roshi Tevis Shadchon, Kyalidei Hakisei Naase Shiduchin. That pasuk also lets us know that it's through the throne of Hashem that are formed these Shiduchim. Gam Karsaya, the word Karsaya, which means throne, Roshi Tevois, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, Hainu Gamkein Kanal. The Alkein, this is why we find the terminology that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh is that Bishmini Atzeres Zivuga de Matronisa, that Shmini Atzeres is a time of the Zivug of the Shechina. Note, Zivug, that's when the Zivug is completed after this sequence of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. Ki kemoi shebechazi roson min hakisei, nasin shiduchim. Just as Rabbeinu Zal saw in his vision, he saw that when people returned back home after having visited this throne, immediately they were formed shiduchim, Kain hu b'shoyrish ha'alyin gam kain. So too, kavyochol, in heaven, the same thing takes place. Sha'acha Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. After this sequence of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos, where that's when the Jews return back home. Note, what's the whole Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres? That Hashem says, please spend another day with me. So we see that up home, and we said that in the vision he saw that when they returned back home, that's when these shiduchim were made. So too, oz hu b'chinas zivug ha'matronisa. Shmini Atzeres is the time of the Zivug Kaviyochel of the heavenly couple, of the heavenly queen. Shemishom Shoyresh Hashpoas Neshamas Yisrael Zechorim Unikevois Kemuvan Bezoyar Lech Lechohanal. It's from the Zivug in heaven, that's what generates, it's the Isarusa de La'ela. Kaviyochel, when a Zivug takes place Lamala, between Hashem and the Shechina, this Zivug de Matronisa, that's what generates a Zivug to take place also on earth, between Zechorim Unikevois. Between Zohar and Akeva. Va'ayin Bapardis, he brings also a look at other Sfarim which explain this item. V'shoal, Rabbein Ezal continued in this vision, and he said, Ma yiye parnasosoi. Rabbein Ezal asked, what will be his job? What will be his function in the world? V'omroloi, they told him, sheyiye shadchan, that Rabbein Ezal will be a shadchan. Hainu bechinas shadchan hanal. This refers to the shadchan that we mentioned earlier, which is the first letters of the words, karsaya shvivin dinur. This was showing that Rabbein Ezal is one of those who is hooked, who is a sheirish neshamas Yisroel. He does represent the kisei hakoved of Hashem. Hai shehu ma'achis pnei kisei sheyosho liskos loze kiim mi shetfilosoi hu bechinas dvar Hashem. How is a person zeichet to this level of reaching up to the kisei hakoved, the oilam habriya, which we explain by a person being zeichet to achieve a level of tefillah, which is the bechinah of dvar Hashem. Shehi sheirish hakoil. That's the sheirish of everything. That's a printer's mistake. Shehi sheirish hakoil. Vehu bechinas hamalve hagodoil shekulam loven etzloi. That person is the one who receives this title of being the super lender that all the different components of creation borrow from him. And they all have to return their perfection of tefillah, where his tefillah is bechinas dvar Hashem, where he achieves parnoso. Why? Ki haparnoso roidefes achrov. The parnoso chases after him. Sheze bechinas uberach eslach mechov esmeimecho. Remember, we said before that a person who zeichet to the shleimus of dvar Hashem, what happens? Hashem blesses his bread and water. What does that mean? Al pipshat. That he's zeichet to shefa. Hashem blesses that he has plentiful bread, plentiful water. He has a lot to eat, a lot of parnosa. Ki mi shehu bechinas shadchan anal, a person who achieves this level of shadchan that we explain, oz hu yochoy lasis Rosh Hashanah, that person can make Rosh Hashanah. Umishom nimshach parnosa. And we know that the Gemara says besides that, in other words, he's throwing in a cute thing, that we know where does the parnosa the whole year come from Rosh Hashanah. Al derech shomer razal mizaynos shelotam ktsuvim loy mi Rosh Hashanah. That when is appointed all the parnosa that a person is supposed to get? Rosh Hashanah. So if a person achieves a level where he himself is Bechinas Rosh Hashanah, through his perfection of Tefillah, Dvar Hashem, he achieves the level of Ma'acheis Pnei HaKisei, he latches onto the Kisei HaKavoy, where in essence, he becomes synonymous with Rosh Hashanah, he is capable of judging people and everything. That person is obviously zeichet to parnosa berevach, because the mokor of parnosa is from Rosh Hashanah. Note, we said, where does shefa come from? Eirech yomim bimino ubismayla eisher v'chavoy. Eisher, parnosa comes from the left side. Mitzafoin zohav yoaso, which is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin. That's where the whole parnosa comes from. So a tzaddik who's zeichet to reach up to this level, he's zeichet to have a good parnosa, to have a lot of parnosa. What's a lot of parnosa? We once mentioned that shefa is only when there is a yichud. The word ma'achol, which means shefa, the word ma'achol is bigimatria, yud kei vav kei, and aleph dalet nun yud. Showing that the whole concept of shefa is when there's a yichud, when there's a zivug. So therefore, this one who would be zeichet to make shiduchim, he would be one to have a very good parnosa, to have this mokor of shefa, to have a lot of shefa. And he
say between the dice only have like very little shefa.
Right.
So he maybe is certainly has this magic of Gra Hashem.
Right.
So he should this.
The answer, right, exactly, the answer is number one, for him that was a lot. There's a pasuk that says, Toiv ma'at latzadik, mehar berishto, v'savoto, there's a pasuk that says, Yiso Hashem ponav eilecho, may Hashem show preferential treatment to the Yidden. So the Gemara says in Apikiris, once asked, why should Hashem show any preferential treatment to the Yidden if we know Hashem is Melech HaMishpot, Hashem is fair. Fair means no preferential treatment. So the Gemara says that Hashem answers, V'chiloi es oponim lohem, should I not show preferential treatment to the Yidden if I commanded them, V'ochalto v'sovoto v'rachto, I told them that when are you required to binge? If you eat a big meal, you become very full. V'heim medaktikin b'kezayis u'kebeyo. And they're careful to binge even on a kezayis or kebeyo. A Yid eats a piece of bread the size of a kebeyo, he's benching already. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, hold on a second, there's a problem here. We know that Brocha Levatola is one of the most serious averis conceivable. If the Chumash says that the time to bench is when Visavoto, you ate a whole big meal, why do we say that this is a compliment of the Yidden, that we compliment them, that they're such good boys, that they bench even when they only ate a little? That's going against the Halacha. The Da'eraisa is Beferish Visavoto Verachto, that you only bench upon becoming full. Full is not on a Kaveya. The Zohar HaKadosh asks this question, and the Zohar HaKadosh answers, the answer is, the Pasuk says, Va'ameich kulam tzadikim, that the Yidna refer to as a nation of tzadikim. And the Pasuk says, Tzadik oichel l'soiva nafshoi. A tzadik doesn't eat to satiate his guf, he eats to satiate his nefesh. To satiate the nefesh, you don't need quantity, you need quality. The nefesh is not impressed by a pound, or a quarter, or an ounce. The nefesh is according to how a person eats bikdusha. If a person eats bikdusha, he can achieve the same satisfaction from a small amount as another person achieves from a large amount. So we see that this is not a sign that Rabbi Hanina ben Brisa had little shefa. He had a lot of shefa. In other words, mitzad atzma, he had a lot. I, the kasha, well, let's still. The metzias was that he had physically very little quantity. If he was the mocker of all the shefa for the whole world, what's tai chi had so little, and he was the source for the whole world? The answer is, Rabbeinu Zal has a Torah Likutei Moran at the beginning of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal explains what the tzaddik does, how the tzaddik takes for himself this little portion, and that's what allows him to be able to provide for the rest of the world. Rabbeinu Zal gave a whole explanation for that. How the tzaddik basics, he only jumps into a shkia daka to the left side, just to allow him to serve as the Mokar of Shefa for the rest of the world. But he himself pretty much rejects almost completely any Gashmiyastika Shefa. There's a concept of a necessity for Ashiris. But normally the norm for Tzadikim is not to be wealthy. Okay, now Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal continues, in the vision Rabbeinu Zal saw, the Ho'esh Hekiv Sivivoi, that there was fire surrounding this throne. Now Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal is going to quote about 20, 30 psukim, showing how just about every item that we mention in this Torah relates to Esh, relates to fire. And this is why the throne that Hashem saw in his vision was surrounded by fire. It had this rust color, it looked like fire. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says, Ki hakisei hu bechinas eish kanal. Throne, the throne of Hashem, is a concept of fire. V'tikunei hakisei, all the tikunim of this throne of Hashem. Meaning, hainu lizkois lozeh, for a person to be zeichet to the level of the throne of Hashem. Meaning, lebechinas ma'acheis penei kisei, to grab onto the throne of Hashem and to merge oneself with this throne of Hashem. Shehu al yidei binyan Yerushalayim. Rabbeinu Zal explained in this Torah, how does a person achieve that? Through binyan Yerushalayim. By building up the Yerushalayim shebelev, that's how a person is zeichet to be to distinguish, to differentiate between the mefursamim shel tov, mefursamim shel sheker. The mefursamim shel tov represent the sherish neshamas Yisrael. That's how you attach yourself to the pnei akisei. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says, "Hi bechinas eish." This concept of binyan Yerushalayim is a concept of eish, because what does the pasuk say about the destruction of Yerushalayim? Because the pasuk says, "Bo eish hitzato." The pasuk bechinas eish, "Ubo eish ato osid levnoisa." The Gemara says that Hashem destroyed the Beis Hamikdash with fire, "Ubo eish ato osid levnoisa," and Hashem is going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash with fire. So we see the Beis Hamikdash, the city of Yerushalayim, which was destroyed with fire, the Binyan Yerushalayim. We're going to show how everything that we refer to in this Torah that builds up, that's Mesake in this Kisei HaKavod, all relates to the Inyan of fire. So the Binyan Yerushalayim is a concept of fire. Ka'omor, as the Pasuk says, Va'ani eheyelo choymas eish soviv. Hashem said, Gam Yerushalayim hu bechinas hakisei. We know that Yerushalayim represents the throne of Hashem. Kama shekosev, as the pasuk says in Novi, Bo'eis hahi yikru leYerushalayim kisei Hashem. There will come a time when they will call Yerushalayim the throne of Hashem. So now we just put these two things together. We showed conclusively how Yerushalayim is an inyan of the Kisei of Hashem, and Yerushalayim is surrounded by fire. So too, the throne of Hashem that Rabbeinu Zal saw in his vision was surrounded by fire. Ukemuva b'maimar heichal hakodesh b'likutei alav simanun tes, as is explained there also. Ubinyan Yerushalayim Hu Bechinas Yerushalema Hatluya Belev. We said in this Torah Kudamaran that Binyan Yerushalayim means the word Yerushalayim is actually composed of two words, Yerushalayim. This means achieving perfection in fear of Hashem, which is totally belev. It's in the heart. Fear of Hashem is something that's not visible. You don't see a person's Yerushalayim on the outside. That's when he's alone in his own room. That's when we see what his true Yerushalayim is. Rabbi Nizal says, and that's also a concept of fire. Ze bechinas eish. That's also a concept of fire. Kama yishekosev, as the Pasuk says, ki yireisem mipnei ha'esh. You are afraid of the fire. So we see Yira is a concept of Eish, fire. Next, Vayde Yira bo hashpoas hanavua v'chulu. Rabbi Nizal said in this chapter that through perfection of Yira Shemayim, this results in a hashpoas hanavua to the clay hanavua. Rabbi Nizal says, Zebechinas Eish. That's also, Nevua is also a concept of fire. How did Hashem reveal himself in his first Nevua to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Pasuk says, Vayero Malach Hashem Elov Belabas Eish. An angel of Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in a flame of fire. So we see that Nevua is a Bechina of Moshe. That's written about the beginning of the Nevua of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yachakach b'maymad Har Sinai k'siv. And also when the Yidden was standing on Har Sinai and they heard the Devar Hashem. Hashem, the Pasuk says, Udvorov Shomanu Mitoicho Eish. We heard the words of Hashem from the fire. Again, fire. And we find throughout the Torah, whenever Hashem speaks to a tzaddik, many, many times we find a reference to words of fire. Rabbi Nizal said through this Hashpoas Hanavua, that's what leads to the tefillah being taken out of Golos. To the point where the tefillah rises up to the level of Dvar Hashem. What is Dvar Hashem? Zebechinas Eish. Again, fire. Kamo Yishekosev, as the Pasuk says, Haloi Koi Dvorai Koeish. So Rabbi Nizal is showing, he's taking you on a tour throughout this whole Torah, and he's showing you how everything in this chapter of the Likutei Moharan was related to the concept of fire. He's talking about Eish, ruling over Malachim, fire, Malachim of fire, and Tefillah is fire, Nevuah is fire, Yirah Shemayim is fire, Yerushalayim is fire. All of these things are represented by fire, which is the form in which Rabbi Nizal saw this throne surrounded by fire. Gam ki shleimus hatfilo hu lehispalel bekavonas halev. We know also that when we talk about a person achieving shleimus hatfilo, what does that mean? Davening with kavona, kavonas halev, that his heart should be attached to his tefillah. Ubehislavus, with the terminology that's used about davening properly is davening with hislavus. Lehova means fire, flame. Rishbe eis shalheves ko, a concept of sparks of fire, in other words, a flame of fire, a hislavus in the tefillah. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, cham libi bekirbi, behagigi tivareish. My heart is warm within me, it sparks from a fire. Vaydeze, yochoy lasis Rosh Hashanah. That's through all of this. A person is zeichet to be able to perform the act of Rosh Hashanah, the act of judgment. Shehu Yom HaMishpat, which is a day of judgment, Ze Bechinas Eish. Mishpat is also an inyan of Eish, as the Pasuk says, Ki Bo Eish Hashem Nishpat, that Hashem judges with fire. So we see that Rosh Hashanah is also a concept of fire. We can move on to Siman Nuntes, as is explained in chapter Nuntes in the Qadamran. Now Rabbi Nizal goes on to prove how the three, Nachman Shmuel Nizal goes on to prove, I don't want to continue reading inside because it's a little hard, we'll explain outside. Rabbi Nachman Shmuel Nizal goes on to explain how the three taivas that Rabbi Nizal referenced in this term, Likutei Moharan, the taivas momoin, the taivas achila, taivas meshagel, also are all represented by fire. The drive of a person for money, the Zohar HaKadosh calls that leshakech chamimo, of Zohav, in other words, to cool off the fire, the fiery desire that burns in a person for money. The Zohar Kodesh, the terminology that's used about that is fire, Taivas Momoin. Taivas Achila, we know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that what's the purpose of eating? Because of the fact that there is, a human being is composed of Dalad Yisaydos, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofar. There's a fire that goes on within the human body. The heart is pumping, that generates friction. That friction could, chas v'shalom, burn up the body. The purpose of eating, the intake of food, is what serves as part of the air conditioning process to cool off, to feed the fire light. In other words, it's a concept with a fire. Unless you put firewood on it, we usually refer to firewood as heating up a fire. But firewood is also what maintains the fire. In other words, this concept of a maintenance function, that's the function of achila. When we take food into our body, that's what controls that the fire should not get out of, in other words, go out of proportion, chas v'shalom, and cause damage within the body. So we see achila is also an inyan of eish oichla. The Torah uses the term eish oichla. So we see eish used in reference to achila. Taibas mishagel, the desire for women, we find there also this term chamimus, fire, this fiery, this wrong fiery kind of desire. Rav Nachman Shmuelzal quotes different psukim where it refers to esh bris. The word bereshis is bris esh, showing how esh is related to the singing of tikkun bris. Then he goes on to show how the three avodos which we describe, of al tehi boz lecholodom, not to insult any person, and avodah zarah. And what was the third one? Gili Arayis, Tikkun HaBris. We said not to insult someone was the Shvichas Domim. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, Shvichas Domim. Those three are also a Bechin of Eish. Because by Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, Pesile Elekehem Tisrafun Bo Eish. That how do you destroy an Avodah Zarah? Burn it in the fire. By Shvichas Domim, it's called Osi, it's called when a person is insulted, is embarrassed, his face changes colors. First it turns white, then it turns red. This white and red, which are the basic colors of fire. This combination of white and red that we find in the fire. And also the Tikkun HaBris, the Shmiras HaBris, which is again the singing of Bris Eish, we said. And he goes on to show how every single thing that we explain in this Torah is Maruma Zinyan of fire, and that's why this representation that Rabbeinu Zal in this vision, the focal point of this whole vision was the fact that Rabbeinu Zal saw a throne surrounded by fire, period. And Rabbi Nachman Shmuelzal says, with this we can understand in a tiny form a little bit about what this vision was about. That in this vision, Rabbeinu Zal was being shown all of these eitzos. Everything that he was going to describe in the Torah about Rosh Hashanah was being presented to him in story form in this vision that he saw at that time. We'll hold it over here for now. In Likutei Halachos, there are many, many pages on this Torah describing tzitzis and all kinds of things throughout Likutei Halachos based on this Torah. Allah, we should be zeichet to understand it to the best of our ability and to follow the advice that's given in this Torah. Note, by us there's nothing in Breslov, nothing is theory. Everything is likutei eitzlis. Everything is practical advice. We started off this Torah that what's your function in this world? To rule over malachim. How do you do it? It's dangerous. Explaining the dangers involved. How do you do it? By attaching yourselves to the leaders of the generations. How do you distinguish between the good leaders, the bad leaders? We explain that. Yerushalayim, Binyan Yerushalayim, and the Tikkun of Tefillah and Nevuah, and all of these items, and culminating with tremendous emphasis on not judging another person. This concept of Rosh Hashanah itself judges the world, and people b'chlal should avoid this concept of passing judgment on people. Possible. Could be. In other words, there must be some. Mara means like a vision that he saw where he didn't have to necessarily be asleep, like the visions of Rabbah Bar Bar Chana, where he wasn't asleep at the time. He saw a vision when he was out at sea or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Chalay means specifically sleep.
It seems that, you know, after all the levels we discussed in this Torah, and the bottom line is that it's sort of tiny, you know, to get to all the levels, it's a very, very tiny, tiny fraction, if only one side of the Gadar who can reach this. So you're saying...
Who can reach... No, not true. Who can reach this? What's the next word?
Bishlamis.
Bishlamis. That's the key. Who achieves this in Bishlamis.
So is the advice to us to strive to reach whatever level we can, or to attach ourselves to the Tzadik?
Both. And that's the basic limud, this whole Sefer Likutei Moran, majority of it, he's discussing tzaddik. He's discussing the word tzaddik, what makes up a tzaddik. What does a tzaddik do? Taira and tefillah, and this, all the different things. But it's presented in a way where you should know that v'ameich kulam tzaddikim. That tzaddik isn't only, in other words, that in a general sense, each and every single Jew is called a tzaddik by Hashem, and he's obligated to try to act as a tzaddik. So that we don't say that hispeidus is only for tzaddikim, it's for the biggest, Taira is for the biggest Jew and the smallest Jew. We don't dare tell any people that your job is to go out and earn money and no Taira, chas v'shalom. Every single Jew is obligated to learn and to daven and money, and this to be kelel everything, this kind of concept. At the same time, we are given to understand in our sforim that once you start analyzing these items, the study of Torah or tefillah or other, and beginning to understand how much is involved in it, that it's not as shallow as you thought it was before you learned about all that's involved in it, that you're competing against malachim and all kinds of cute things that go on, that's when you begin to realize that the fact remains that no matter how much I could perfect myself on this, I'm still very, very far from being perfect. Therefore, I must seek out the one that's perfect and attach myself to him. By doing that, I become nichol hamechuber l'tohar tohar, the Gemara says. That one who's attached to a person's tohar is also classified as tohar. So there's two things. In other words, this is a yesod in the Holy Kutimaran. Anything that you're going to learn here that he describes about the biggest tzaddik, the only reason why he's writing it here is that the whole world has to know about it and has to strive to do it. However, we all have to be aware that we're very far from doing this b'shlemus, thus the need to seek out the tzaddik, number one, to teach us what we should be doing, and number two, because of the fact that he's the one who has achieved shlemus in these items. Baruch Hashem. Okay. The next Taira Likutaman that we're going to learn, I'm speaking from personal, I myself find this chapter very hard. And I hope that in learning it this time again, it's going to become easier to me and more familiar, because it's presented in a way where it's not, things don't immediately seem to fit together, in other words, in an easy manner. But we're going to try to explain it as well as we can and try to understand. In other words, there's a lot of new concepts that are going to be presented in this Torah, which there's going to be a lot to learn. This each chapter in Likutei Moharan is like a whole culture unto itself. You figure we just learned that Torah that we just finished. If I simply dedicate my whole life to that, that in itself is enough to be classified as a complete religion. We had Nevuah in there, we had Aseret Hadin, we had Torah in there, we had Tefillah in there, we had just about everything in there. And yet now Rabbeinu Zal is going to present a brand new culture that seems in some ways to be totally unrelated with what we had before, and in some ways seems to be identical. Each and every single chapter in Likutei Moharan is identical. It's all talking about serving Hashem, basically, with Torah and Tefillah, combining those two items. This next Torah was said by Rabbeinu Zal on Hanukkah, and the main topic that this Torah Likutei Moharan revolves around is Makshaleled, a person, a woman, who has difficulty in having children. This Torah speaks about everything related, all the tikkunim related to that. Rabbeinu Zal says, Yemei Hanukkah heim Yemei Hoidah, and everything is Hashkocha Prati. The fact that we're learning this now, everything is Hashkocha Prati. Rabbeinu Zal says, Yemei Hanukkah heim Yemei Hoidah. The days of Hanukkah are classified as days of praising Hashem. The word Hanukkah is identical with the word Hoidah. Kemoi Shekosuv, as we say beferish in Al Anisim, in Bimei Matisyahu, we say, V'kovu Shmoinas Yemei Hanukkah Elu L'Hoidais U'Lahalel. That the purpose Hanukkah was established for Hoidah, for praising Hashem. So for now, we can use those two words interchangeably, Hanukkah and praise of Hashem. V'imei Hoidah zebechinas shash shiashua olam haba. The concept of days of praising Hashem, that's a concept of olam haba. The main pleasure of Olam Haba is going to be to give praise and to glorify the name of Hashem. That's going to be the main pleasure of Olam Haba, that, number one, to give praise to Hashem, and number two, and to come to recognize Hashem, to understand Hashem. That's how a person becomes close to Hashem. Two things: praising Hashem and coming to understand Hashem. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ki kol ma sheyoidin umakirin oisa yisporach biyoser." Now this is a halacha. Rabbi Nezal is establishing this as fact. The more a person knows and understands Hashem, smuchim elav biyoser, that person is closer to Hashem. And Rabbi Nosson's Alikutei Halacha bases this on a statement in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Ilu yedativ heisiv. If you would understand Hashem, if you would understand Hashem completely, you would be Hashem. In other words, if a person sees he has these things about Hashem that he doesn't understand, why did Hashem kill 6 million? Why did Hashem do this? Why that? The Gemara says we answer this with one simple statement. Ilu yedativ. If you would understand Hashem completely, heisiv, you would be Hashem. So don't be impressed with the fact that you don't understand Hashem fully. It's simply because you're not Hashem. If you were on that level, you would understand everything fully. You're not Hashem, therefore you don't have the same capacity for understanding Hashem's deeds as Hashem himself does. Rav Moshe Zal says, we see from those words that the more I am yedativ, that the more I do get to understand Hashem, kaviyochol, the more I become Hashem, meaning I become nichlal in Hashem. The more I understand Hashem, the more I become a part of Hashem. I become more merged with Hashem than a person who understands Hashem less. So Rabbi Nezal says here that the two things that bring a person close to Hashem are lahoidai solahal Hashem and lahakiroi soyisporach, to recognize Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal says, Kishar kol hadvorim yizbatlu lo'osid kulam. Because in the future, everything else is going to become batel. There will not be anything else except for praising Hashem and recognizing Hashem. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, the Medrash Rabbah says, kol hakorbonois betelin chutz mikorban toida, that losid lovoi korban chatos, korban oila, all the korbonos are going to become batel except for korban toida. What does this imply? Korbanos are an inyan of avoida. The term avoida is used for korbanos. The only avoida that will remain la'osid lavoi is the avoida of toida, praise to Hashem. What is korban toida? It's praise to Hashem. Shelo yishoyer la'osid rak bechinas toida v'hoida. The only thing that will remain in the future is praise, giving thanks and praise to Hashem. The whole Olam Haba is going to be a recognition of Hashem, which is going to result in a Hakoras HaToiv, in a Hakoras HaToiv, recognizing the good of Hashem and constantly praising Hashem based on our recognition of the goodness of Hashem. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Hanovi, that then the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, kamayim layam mechasim, as water covers the ocean. What is water covering the ocean? What does that mean? That means that the word yam refers to the ocean floor. Note, this pasuk tells us very clearly that yam does not mean the water of the ocean. Yam means the bed of the ocean. Kamayim layam mechasim. Rabbi Zal comments about this on the Likutei Moharan tapes. The fact that we see from this pasuk that the term ocean, the term yam, refers to the ocean floor, kamayim, as the water covers the yam. What does water cover? The floor of the ocean. Sheze kol shiashua olam haba. This is going to be the whole pleasure of olam haba. Period. So this one paragraph sums up the major concept, the focal point of this whole Torah, is to understand we're discussing Chanukah. This Torah was set on Chanukah. And we want to summarize Chanukah in one word, that Chanukah is Toida. Chanukah is Hoido Lash, it's praise to Hashem. Therefore, thus, Chanukah represents Olam Haba. Because the whole concept of Olam Haba is a concept of praise to Hashem. Now note, what's the obvious analogy between Chanukah and Olam Haba?
Eight days.
We have 8 days of Hanukkah. Eight is always the number that represents Olam Haba. Everything in this world, Gashmias, is seven. 7 days of the week, 7 years of a Shemitah. The eighth day represents Olam Haba. Yom HaShmini is always a concept of Olam Haba. Note, Hanukkah is a Yontif, where our Avodah is not physical, it's not eating, it's not Sudas Chanukah, it's Shemen, it's oil, it's light, it's Olam Haba. The whole union of Chanukah is an union of Olam Haba. Purim is an union of Gashmius, no, Al Pi Halacha. That's why we have the Chi of Suda on Purim, because on Purim, Haman wanted Lahashmid Laharig Abed, he wanted to kill the Guf. On Chanukah, the Greeks didn't want to kill the Guf. They attacked the Olam Haba. They attacked the Ruchnius, the Neshama. They wanted the Yidden Kisvu Lechem Al Keren Hashur, Shein Lechem Chelek Balakei Yisrael. They wanted them to be Kofer Im Hashem, not to recognize Hashem. So the whole concept of Chanukah is to get to know Hashem. To get to know Hashem means to get to thank Hashem. Because if you know Hashem, what you get to know is that Hashem is Kulay Toiv. The Gemara says, "Bayoyim Hahu Yihya Hashem Echod Ushmayechod." The Chihoid Nehulav Echod, is he not one? Elo today, Mevorchen Al Harov Al Dainemes Val Atoivo Boruch Atoiv Hametiv. Lo Sid Lavoi, it'll be Kulay Hatoiv Hametiv. What's Taich? What's Taich? That Lo Sid Lavoi, we're going to get to know Hashem well. And knowing Hashem well means knowing that he's Kulay Toiv. That everything he does is good, which results in just constantly thanking, constant praise and thanks to Hashem. Period.
Ibn Benazal said this is all Olam Haba, so what does it mean, like, sometimes there's certain places that gave Olam Haba, the 13 rivers of water, and all these types of things, and all those, how's that?
Bayoyim Hahu, we just quoted a Gemara, Bayoyim Hahu, Yihye Hashem Echod Ushma Echod. Echod is Bigamatria 13. That's the symbolism in these 13 rivers of spices. What is spices? Ezehu dopor shehaneshomo nena mimena v'lei haguf, ha'vi'im rezu ha'reyach. Koil haneshomo tahalel koz, the smell. This is why we find this term of 13 rivers, afar samayin adachio, a pure afar samayin, which is this good balsam. It's something smells good. Again, that's the sinyan of koil haneshomo tahalel, the sinyan of halel shebach v'edon Hashem. That's going to be part of this praise to Hashem. You understand? Next. Melos, excuse me for interrupting. Torah Beis and the Kutim Aran. That Ki Iker Achiyah Simen HaTfilah, Kama Shikos HaTfilah Kel Chayoi, and that's the Ruach Apeinu Mashiach Hashem. Not Ki Iker Achiyah Simen HaTfilah. Ki Iker Klei Zainoi Shel Moshiach HuTfilah, and Moshiach is Ruach Apeinu. Therefore we find this symbolism, Re'ei Reach Bnei, Kireach HaSodah Asher Berach HaHashem. That Yaakov Avinu was in Gan Eden, he smelled. What is smell? This Koil HaNeshomo Tahalel, this Halel V'Hoidor. That on Purim we don't say Halel, on Chanukah we do say Halel. The stress that Chanukah is the singing of Halel V'Hoidor of Hashem.
In fact, it remains up into L'Hoidos, L'Halel, then L'Hakir.
Right.
Could you say that's the concept of Tera and Tfilah?
Definitely. A billion, in other words, that's, you tell me, what else? Lahidus Lahal is Tfilah. Lahakir is talking about Yediyah. He uses the word Yediyah. Ki koma she yoidin umakir noisis borach biyoser. You get to be part of Hashem. So you see, he's never a Meisir Oznei Mishmaya Torah. You'll never find Rabbein Nazal talking about Tfilah without Torah. Because Tfilah without Torah is Guf Balei Neshama. It's Malchus without the other nine spheres. It's gears. It's fake. Malchus is the Leslam Igamal Klum. It's nothing unless it receives Kol Hanachol and Ma'ilchim Alayam, unless it receives from the spheres above it, which represent Torah. The Yichud of Tiferes in Malchus, Tiferes is Torah. Sivon, Torah. Kabbalah Satorah.
Didn't you mention somewhere that in the future all human Titan become what they'll accept?
Right. Except Korban. This is Korbanos. Separate topic. We'll see. Although Chanukah also, Chanukah and Purim. It's not just Purim. 100%. Chanukah will also be lost in Moravim. We'll get to that when we explain the rest of the
thing. Tisha B'Av will be a holiday.
Exactly. Tisha B'Av will be converted into a holiday.
But this floor of the city, was this
Taich,
or was there an extra point to that?
Taich. I was to understand the Taich of this word Yam, to know the word Yam.
How do we see the Hoidais in the last passage? Is it from Moshe Pasuk?
We don't. We see Kimol Horetz Deyos Hashem, that the world will be filled with a knowledge, a recognition. In other words, there he's emphasizing the concept of knowledge and recognition of Hashem. As the Pasuk says, you understand? So he spoke about two major topics in this paragraph, which he's going to expand now and discuss, you know, etc., etc. The next paragraph is going to deal with the topic of Halacha, Rabbi Nizal is going to explain the significance of the limud of halacha, and then he's going to go into explaining how all of this relates to Haylodo B'nai Kol. That from this, from all of this that we just spoke about, comes the power of Haylodo B'nai Kol, a woman being able to give birth easily. That's, if you look at paragraph Gimel, the whole paragraph, this whole Torah is going to revolve around that topic. And in the end, it's this Torah Kodaman where Rabbi Nizal brings the eitzah of saying Mizmor L'Saida, that a woman, when she is going to give birth, she says the tefillah of Mizmor L'Saida. The whole secret of that is going to be found in this chapter on Kodaman. So there's going to be a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous amount to say. Now note, we once explained in Ashir, as Rav Moshe Zal says on Kodei Alachos, that the 8 days of Hanukkah correspond to Torah and Tefillah. Torah is basically five chumashim, chamisha chumshei Torah. Tefillah is basically shachris mincha arvos. That's the 8 days of Hanukkah, which combines the lahodos lahalel and lahakir. Note, we said also which is the day of pekidah sakoros. Vashem pokad esoro kasher omar. The day of pekidah sakoros is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day when Sori Menu was Nifkad, and with her, the Gemara says, many, many other Akoris were Nifkad on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Zal once mentioned in a Shir, on this Torah on the Kodaman, he was discussing this Torah on the Kodaman, that we see that Hanukkah is also a Bechina of Pekidas Akoris. We're going to learn in this chapter on the Kodaman now how Hanukkah relates to giving a woman the power to give birth easily. But where do we see the association between Hanukkah and Rosh Hashanah? That's not the proof. Nail on the head. Who is the tzaddik of Hanukkah? Matisyahu. The word Matisyahu is Begimatria Rosh Hashanah. So we see right there an association, a connection between these two Yom Tovim. That just as Rosh Hashanah has this power of Bekiva Sakoris, Hanukkah also has this Bechina of Bekiva Sakoris, as we're going to learn now. However, we should be zeichet to hear good news. I'm going to mention this now. We're going to mention it tomorrow morning also. I said the Hashgacha. One of the girls in this group is going for an operation, a small operation, possibly big operation, tomorrow morning, related to this topic, related to the meaning of Haylod HaMenekel. Note everything when it comes to our learning, every minute you get to see the Hashgach of Hashem that we learn about current events. However, we should be zeichet tonight, we made a haschola on this Torah, which is going to deal with the topic of Haylod HaMenekel. We should be zeichet not from the doctors, but from the Torah. We should be zeichet to be mamshech the koyach of Haylod HaMenekel, to hear a besura is Torah, which is the whole concept of the Yishiyashua Elam Habo. Rachmon v'yishlach lano esay liyon ano v'yizoch ala Torah, ויבוס אלונו בסוי וסטרלס ישועץ ונחמאס. אורך השם. Around that topic. And in the end, it's this Torah Kodaman where Rabbi Nizal brings the eitzah of saying Mizmor L'Saida, that a woman, when she is going to give birth, she says the tefillah of Mizmor L'Saida. The whole secret of that is going to be found in this chapter on the Kodaman. So there's going to be a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous amount to say. Now note, we once explained in Ashir, as Rav Moshe Zal says on Kodei Alachos, that the 8 days of Hanukkah correspond to Torah and Tefillah. Torah is basically five chumashim, chamisha chumshei Torah. Tefillah is basically shachris mincha arvos. That's the 8 days of Hanukkah, which combines the lahodos lahalel and lahakir. Note, we said also which is the day of pekidah sakoros. Vashem pokad esoro kasher omar. The day of pekidah sakoros is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day when Sori Menu was Nifkad, and with her, the Gemara says, many, many other Akoris were Nifkad on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Zal once mentioned in a Shir, on this Torah on the Kodaman, he was discussing this Torah on the Kodaman, that we see that Hanukkah is also a Bechina of Pekidas Akoris. We're going to learn in this chapter on the Kodaman now how Hanukkah relates to giving a woman the power to give birth easily. But where do we see the association between Hanukkah and Rosh Hashanah? That's not the proof. Nail on the head. Who is the tzaddik of Hanukkah? Matisyahu. The word Matisyahu is Begimatria Rosh Hashanah. So we see right there an association, a connection between these two Yom Tovim. That just as Rosh Hashanah has this power of Bekiva Sakoros, Hanukkah also has this Bechina of Bekiva Sakoros, as we're going to learn now. Halavai, we should be zeicha to hear good news. I'm going to mention this now. We're going to mention it tomorrow morning also. I said the hashgacha. One of the girls in this group is going for an operation, a small operation, possibly big operation, tomorrow morning, related to this topic, related to the union of Chaylada Menekel. Note everything when it comes to our learning, every minute you get to see the Hashgacha of Hashem that we learn about current events. Halavai, we should be zeicha. Tonight we made a haschala on this Torah, which is going to deal with the topic of Chaylada Menekel. We should be zeicha, not from the doctors, but from the Torah. We should be zeicha to be mamshech the koyach of Chaylada Menekel, to hear a besura is Torah, which is the whole concept of the Yeshua Elam Haba, or Rachman, the Yishlach Lano, Yisrael, Yon, Ano, Vizuch, Alatoiv, ויבוא סלון ובסוי וסטרס ישוע אצלנו חמאס. ברוך השם.